Okay, good morning, everyone. Finally. Okay. Oh. Right. Well, it's great to be here, and I must admit that I will explain in a bit about my lovely daughter Holly, who's on the screen at the moment. I feel that a lot of what has been said this morning actually flows through my message. So I actually want to talk about Holly for a little bit. So back in early June, actually June the 9th, it was my youngest daughter's, Holly's, 12th birthday. She asked me if I could make her a cake with a specific design to go on top of the cake. So I brought a small block of royal icing. Now, I actually went out this morning and bought a block, and it was a smaller block than this one, but many of you might have known a block of icing. So it's just a plain block of icing. Okay. So I had the intention to create a beautiful design to go on the top of the cake. But when I took the block of icing out of the packaging, as it says, it's a white block of icing. Whoever has decorated a cake or watched a cake being decorated, you will know that to create something, you know, beautiful for a cake, you've got to really knead it and roll it and shape it and add colour to it to make a beautiful creation. But when I put the block of icing in my hand, this is actually what happened. And I tried to knead it and mould it and shape it. It was, I think, harder than this. It was rock hard. And I thought to myself, how can I soften and mould this when it's so hard? What am I going to do? What I actually did was put it in the microwave for 10 seconds. That actually helped. Because you see, I saw this block of icing, just plain and white. But I had a vision. I had this lovely vision of what it could become, you know, in my mind, a lovely design, something really beautiful, and that I knew would bring my youngest daughter, Holly, real delight when she saw it on her birthday. Now, eventually, after much kneading of this, well, not this one, and much softening of the ice, and I was eventually able to create and colour with this vision, I had into a lovely design, which Holly thought. And as you would probably guess, I really wanted to do a good job of this, so that she would really be pleased. And as you can see from the photo, she is really pleased on her birthday, when we celebrated her birthday back on June the 9th. So, after this, I actually reflected on this block of icing that I'd brought. And I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever brought a piece of icing quite like this, which has just been so hard and difficult to work with, which I found quite frustrating, to be honest with you, because I've brought icing in the past, which was a lot more softer and easy to work with. Because, again, I had this vision, which, you know, it brought me great joy to create something that Holly would be happy with. And at this point, when I was thinking about this block of icing, God spoke to me, and it felt quite random, but God does that, you know. In the smallest things, he can speak to us. And he reminded me and said to me, like the block of icing, he said, "This is like your heart," he said. He said, "You know, I, Jesus, have this beautiful vision of what my life, my heart can be, and how I can work with you to help you change your heart to be more like me." And I was like, oh my gosh, it was quite amazing, really. But he said to me, he said, "You need to give your heart to me fully, every part," what we've been singing this morning, "every part." of your heart, and to let me work and mold and change and colour into something unimaginably beautiful. Now, when in our own mind that's hard to kind of comprehend, but when God speaks, you know, I had this vision of something so beautiful, which only God, I believe, can help us see that, what he wants to create in us and things he wants to change in us to be more like him. And, you know, he said a heart of developing deeper love, of deeper kindness, of courage, of compassion, of mercy and humility, of loving others and loving ourselves as well. Forgiving people quickly and not harboring jealousy or holding on to things, layers in our lives. You know, in our life, we are, in our conscious, we are 25% aware of things, but the rest of the stuff is in our conscious, but in our subconscious, that stuff has happened, or what, and we park it back, and we don't think about it until something triggers us, and we become aware of it. Those things. It's almost like, you know, in an old building, how they paint layers and layers. God wants to peel back those and to what he wants us to be, to peel off the things that we hold on to or have happened in our lives. Also our attitudes, our doubt, our fear. To have this heart of mercy and to let him fully work and help me to examine my heart and change it to be pliable and open to working in our lives. And that reminded me when I was reading things that we need to work on our hearts every day. Proverbs 4:3, Tony, if you could put that up, says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, our heart, you know, we think of our heart, but it's not our physical organ. It's the core of who we are as a person, our mind, our emotions, our will, our desires, our intentions, our beliefs. That's our heart, in that way, our core. And when it says, above all else, guard your heart, guarding your heart means to be intentional. It means being courageous, to discern what is going on in our hearts. For either the need to forgive, as I've said, things that we have put in front of God, of ourselves, that don't align with his ways, or healing, or to take away fear. And in doing that, it's, if we, you know, Kate's already said it, you know, laying things down. But it's, I know for me, it's aligning myself with God's words, what he says, you know, I'm loved, I am forgiven, I am a child of God, I am an heir, you know. Praise the Lord. It's saying those words out that we read in our Bible, that we sing, and taking them on board. This is who we are in God. We are not fear. We are not unworthy. We are worthy. But it's with him having that courage to speak that out and declare that over our lives. You know, as Kate said, you know, I haven't been here for a bit. We went through some really challenging things in our family recently, so I spent a lot of time at home, and I, to be honest, I did feel quite isolated from church, because I've been going to church for many years, and suddenly when you stop going and you're at home, you're not in that environment of church, being with other people, like-minded people, and worshipping and praying with others, taking communion together. I felt this kind of isolation in a way, and it to be honest, it didn't feel good. You know, I knew it was my place to be at home, but I long to be at church with others, because this is community. This is where we grow in community, not so much in isolation. We need each other. We are wired to be with one another. completely. Proverbs 4:20-21 says, "My son, be attentive to your words and incline your ear to my saying. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, just as what I've said." And the last part of Proverbs says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it." And that flowing out means it flows out of our core, our beliefs, our desires. The outward flow means out of our mouth, of what we say, you know. And it's not just our words. It can be our tone. It can be our posture, what's inside of us. But, you know, I think God is more concerned of what's going on inside us than our actions of what we do. Samuel 16:17 says, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, I completely get all of us go through things. And, you know, you're probably thinking, well, how can I possibly change that? And I know for me, the area of forgiveness is massive. How we can harbour things in our heart. And I do remember one time in my life when I was really hurt and I knew I had to forgive, but I felt that forgiving, you know, it hurt. When you are hurt by someone, it does really hurt. And I kind of felt like forgiving was letting go and letting them win. It was such a pull inside me. But, you know, God tells us to forgive. And I remember, you know, this was such a difficult, difficult thing. And it was that pull of, I knew that God was saying to forgive, but I didn't want to let go. But God was saying forgive. And in the end, you know, I said, "God, you are going to have to help me forgive. I cannot do this on my own. I really can't." And to be honest, that forgiveness was over time. It wasn't a quick fix. It was me constantly saying, "God, help me to forgive." And saying the words, "I forgive you," over and over again, until I really felt that I had forgiveness. Because I know how, in that experience, it was eating at me. It was holding on to me. And God does call us to live freely and lightly, but it held on to me, and that what wasn't good, it was like hardening my heart, you know, like that block of icing, until I gradually was able to let go, and over time it felt like a release, it felt like being set free. And as I said, you know, God reminded me in this time whilst I was writing this message that, like that block of icing, which just seems hard and unworkable, He has that vision for us of a beautiful life. No matter what we go through, He still has that vision for us to change us and make us more like Him. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "I will give them an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." Now, I believe this is only by the work, as we've said this morning, of the Holy Spirit, helping us to recognize and turn from our sin with a new purpose and new motives received in our heart. And I remember distinctly in my life at 15, when I was growing up in England, it was then that I gave my life to Jesus. You know, I was in year 11, I think, and I was... Yeah, I had been brought going to church, but, you know, I had to believe it for myself. And I remember my life did a 360-degree turn at 15. Jesus came and he radically changed my life. And I know from that point on, with my heart, that myself growing up as a teenager, you know, that rub of knowing that the Holy Spirit's there. I'd had this encounter with the Holy Spirit and I knew he was inside me, but then my friends and, you know, growing up, it was like a rub of myself and the Holy Spirit. What do I do? What do I say? You know, his ways, my ways. And, you know, that whole, the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians that we have a seal of the Holy Spirit when we ask Jesus into our life. He resides in our lives. And that same Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the same Holy Spirit who was there at Pentecost. It was the same Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus and the disciples to heal, to save, to deliver. You know, this same Holy Spirit lives in us. And it's a spirit of love, not of fear. And, you know, we go along in our life. I know for me, you know, I've been a Christian quite a long time now. And I know that when I pray and say to God, you know, make me aware of things in my life that I need to change, it's having that awareness of the Holy Spirit in your life. But when you feel something, you know, from God, responding, you know, taking that time to pray or ask God further, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? And then that, I believe that, you know, this rub that we feel of our flesh and the Holy Spirit of doing right and following him and his ways, I truly believe what it says in Matthew 16:25, that for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I truly believe, and I believe that from the age of 15, that when we give our lives, our whole lives to him, our desires, our will, that when we give them to him, he will give us that life that he has intended for us. No matter when curveballs come in life and things happen, he is there consistently. He doesn't change. And I know that through my life, through the highs and through the lows and through the normal, he is there. It is holding on to him that he is our rock, that he is unmovable. He doesn't change like turning shadows. He is there consistently. He is always for us. He is not against us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. This is God. He has that eternal, everlasting love for us. Always, always. But when we think of people in the Bible, I'm drawn to David. He is a great example. And, you know, God refers to him as a man after his own heart. Many of us know David. But as we know, he was a shepherd, he was a poet, he was a giant killer, he was a king. But alongside that, he was a betrayer, a liar, an adulterer, a murderer. But as you read through the Bible and read like Psalm 139, loads of psalms David has wrote, and in Samuel and Psalm 151, you can see the genuineness of his heart of wanting to be free from sin and wrong in his life. Oh, so I've just gone off track a bit. But as you read through the Bible, we're remembered and respected for his heart for God. He had an unchangeable belief in the faithfulness and forgiving nature of God. He says he sinned many times, just like us. It says all have fallen short. You know, we are all sinful. We all do wrong. But he was quick to confess his sins. And his confessions were from the heart. His repentance was genuine, and he never took God's forgiveness lightly. You know, he knew that there were consequences. His life would be a bit different from the bad things and not so good things he did. But God was faithful and merciful towards him, just like he is for us. And in some of the words we read in Psalm 51, when he had done such wrong and he was asking God, David is pleading for mercy and forgiveness, and he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgression, wash away my sins and my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." And that's the thing. He had done such wrong, but God is so merciful. So merciful. And of course, he forgives David. You know, just like he does us, which is so good. And you can hear that genuineness in him, that want to be free from that sin, from what he's done wrong. He knows it's wrong, but he wants that freedom in his life. You know, I know it's not easy, the things in our life. And I think the things that God wants to change in life are the things that we hold on to most. The things that we think, how on earth can I change from that? You know, but God is able to. He's able to work him with you. He's humble and he's gentle. He doesn't come barging in. Because he wants us to live freely and lightly, not holding on to things. Just like that vision, you know, I had for my daughter Holly. Something beautiful, something lovely, which brought me so much joy. That's how God wants us to live. So, communion. As we turn now to taking communion, as we know, it's a time to examine ourselves and a time that we might need to say sorry, or sorry for doubt or things I might have said to someone or done, you know. And in that, it's knowing that as we say those things to God, that he does forgive us. He said he throws our sin as far as it's from the east to the west. He truly does get rid of it. We don't need to mull over it and hold on to it. He said it's done. It is finished. It's over. And we need to walk in that freedom of forgiveness. So what I suggest, as the emblems are handed out, if we just mull over and reflect on some of David's words from Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." How do we recognize sin, wrong things in our life, unless God points them out graciously? As we reflect now on what is going on in our own life, in our own core, what we discern and feel that God needs to change, I think, as I said, it's having that awareness that we have from the Holy Spirit who is sealed in our life, and then responding to that. You know, whether it's an exchange from God, yeah, I hear you, you know I need to change that. Help me to be free. Because I said he has that good and perfect will for our lives. Just like that block of icing, that vision I had to mold and change, to bring and create, to bring such joy. This is just like God. He sees your heart. He sees all of you. And like Susie said, no matter how small or big your faith is, it just needs to be the size of a mustard seed. Susie said, it's in the Bible, it can move mountains. So as we come now to take communion, let's take that time to reflect. Hey, and I really feel that God is saying, no matter what is going on in your life, big or small, he is with you and able to do more than you could ever imagine. So please do take heart in God and what he's able to do. He can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that by your Spirit you are here today. I thank you for giving your life for us, for being nailed to that cross so that we could know your freedom, your love, and your mercy. Lord, I pray that as we take communion, that we would give our life as a living sacrifice to you, that we would give all of our lives wholly, not holding back. And in turn, I know that you will bless us, that you will be with us, that you will hold us, that you'll be with us every day of our lives. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for what you've done for us, that you came to show us that better life. You came to show us a love and a grace, a love of grace, of hope and peace and goodness, Lord. Lord, we are forever grateful for what you have done. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.